Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
We welcome back University of Rodan political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to have as our guest Lieutenant Governor of Rodan, Dan McKee. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Dan McKee, you're facing a primary challenge this September from State Representative Aaron Regenberg. Regenberg says he wants to focus on leveling the playing field for Rhode Islanders, and he says the State House needs new ideas and new energy. What is your explanation for why you are the better choice for Lieutenant Governor?
Well, I think the work that we've done over the last 3 years and also 12 years as a mayor brings quite a bit of experience bringing working with municipal leaders. I was just at a forum, brought in all the municipal leaders about the opioid addiction issue and identified a way that they could join in on a national lawsuit to bring revenue and resources into their communities to offset this epidemic. So visiting small businesses, working with the Veterans Association, working with the National Grid. I think that we are going to finally recover the money that where the tax relief began in January and the rate relief should have began in January. And you know, that hasn't happened yet, but we're getting indications now that it actually that $10, $15 million is going to come back to the ratepayer. So we're more than paying for our office, Ian.
What do you say about this primary race between our guest, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, and his challenger, Aaron Regenberg? Scott?
I think it'll be one of those interesting kind of left, center, right, whatever you want to talk about, the Democratic primary. I'm asking you, though, Lieutenant Governor, Regenberg got through the legislature his family leave bill. What key legislation have you been able to get through the legislature?
Well, first of all, he's in the legislature, so I mean that's his job.
You're Lieutenant Governor.
We certainly have brought proposals together that have merited.
What's passed?
Nothing at the moment. I don't think we've had some pass in terms of the I don't think it's a laugh. I think that we have brought significant proposals together with regionalizing public safety dispatch. I think there's an opportunity to go back to that with the 911 money. That's in excess, as they've done up in Massachusetts. We have legislation that actually passed the House and the Senate last year on making sure that the National Grid respond to its customer base differently than it has right now. It just happened that the session ended as they were both going to be passed, Scott, last year. So we have those reintroduced this year. We expect that those are going to gain traction. And we have, and instead of just sitting on our hands when the October a storm came where 150,000 ratepayers were without electricity for several days. We did the research and we put in legislation that is similar to Massachusetts and to levy fines against the National Grid if they're not responding quickly enough. So we have certainly a record there, and we're hopeful that the General Assembly would pass it. Maybe the rep that's running against me actually will help push that agenda forward.
Actually, what I see this as, and you're sort of alluded to it, it's really going to be a question within the Democratic Party of a progressive agenda, which Regenberg certainly represents, and the more moderate Democrats across the state, statewide. How are you addressing that strategy when certainly in Providence, Regenberg's agenda would probably be more favorable? How is your support statewide? How are you expecting that to play out?
Yeah, and I think that's important. It's a statewide race. It's not a Providence race. Last year, we did very well in 4 years ago, and I was a newcomer to the field in terms of the primary, Maureen. So we expected to run an aggressive campaign in Providence. We have brought a lot of number of things to the table for the city of Providence. Providence and true in terms of bringing municipal leaders to support legislation that pushed back that was going to pass that the mayor Alorza himself said was going to cost the community $90 million. I was at the center of pushing back against making sure that legislation didn't pass. So we're going to play just fine in Providence, throughout the state of Rhode Island, visiting all the communities on the business side and the other issues that we're doing. We've have a very strong prominence in every single community and state. And my campaign is going to be very similar to what it was last time. I'm campaigning to the people who live in our communities, just like the town of Cumberland that I managed as a mayor for 12 years. And the large group of people that are out there care about things like public safety. They care about education. They care about the economy. Those things, just because there's a national agenda coming in that is kind of overshadowing that, in the end, people want to live in communities that they can afford to live in and that they can raise their families in. And I'll appeal to those individuals.
Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, as you say, you introduced a legislative proposal in January meant to improve the response of utility companies to storms. This week, the state released a report that was critical of National Grid's performance during the storm last October. So do you expect your proposal to make it through the General Assembly this session?
We've had good hearings. It's got support, and it has been sponsored by legislators. And so I expect that it's going to go through. We were right, like I said earlier, we were right on target with that when we were responding at the time. Why was Massachusetts getting back online quicker than Rhode Island? And the reason that we believe is that Massachusetts passed legislation a few years back that mirrors the legislation that we've introduced that penalizes the National Grid or the utility companies in general if they're not responding quickly enough or they're not prepared to respond quickly enough. Remember, when we're out of electricity, it's a public safety issue in many cases for the residences, but it's an economic issue in relationship to the businesses. And we visited businesses in that were lost $10,000 of business over those four or five days. We visited businesses that didn't ship out $300,000 of business during that time frame. So, and for a matter that was corrected in 20 minutes when we actually finally got the National Grid to the site to fix the problem. And in that report, it said that the 600 responses were done back to businesses or residences where the problem had already been fixed. They need to get their act together and get the messaging straight so that we can service the people in the state of Rhode Island.
I'm going to switch gears to cover another subject. The state moved this week to increase tuition at Rhode Island College and the University of Rhode Island. State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell says this shows that Governor Raimondo's free tuition program was not a good idea. Governor Raimondo says the two things are not really related. How do you come down on that?
Yeah, they're not related. I mean, if you're going to do education, and I support the community college, start there. In Tennessee, I have visited Tennessee last year, and they have a great program, and I would actually like to see that program expanded into not just high school, recent high school grads, but let's expand it to the people who have been displaced or are looking for a new career. That's a really appropriate way to invest our dollars in a way that we can afford. I wasn't necessarily on board with the whole four-year plan when it came out, but I think where we are right now is a good spot, and it really positions the state of Rhode Island in a very competitive way.
Maureen, you're obviously a professor at URI. To some people, this looks like it's robbing Peter to pay Paul. What do you say?
I tend to agree with the lieutenant governor in the sense that, of course, I'm from URI, so full disclosure, I'm pretty biased. But nonetheless, it's unfortunate that this has become a political issue in the sense that URI is the least expensive, except for Maine, of all the New England colleges. And the fact that we need both, we need a multifaceted approach to higher education, which includes really stepping up to the plate and supporting URI and Rhode Island College and providing funds for this wonderful idea, I think, of using education and training to train our workforce. So I'm biased, but I definitely am on board with that.
Let's go to a last word on that from Scott.
Well, it's a modest tuition increase, 2%. Like a lot of things that are wrong with Rhode Island, this goes back to Don Cicchieri's administration when the state slashed funds for higher education. And that's a real problem. We just haven't recovered and haven't given colleges back what they deserve.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee.
Thank you for the invitation.
You can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.